Welcome in, time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in, time for Daily Editorial. It is Monday. What a way to start the week. We got an election coming tomorrow, probably one of the most important elections of my lifetime. Some interesting things started to happen surrounding the election just a few days ago. Number one, the story about Paul Pelosi has been totally eliminated from the news media. Jim, you have some comments on that?
Yeah, so on Friday, NBC News actually did a report after one of their reporters in San Francisco talked to law enforcement, and in that report identified that Paul Pelosi opened the door for law enforcement, which didn't make any sense on the initial reporting because they said that he was standing there holding the hammer. But what it turns out is that they had been talking for quite a long time. According to the NBC report, Paul Pelosi opened the door, said everything was good, and then approached the other guy, the Pepe, and after a period of time, that's when the fight erupted. So definitely, as we've said from the beginning, there's more to this story. Immediately, almost, you know, within hours of posting the video from NBC, the network actually took the video down. But the interesting part about what's happening now is that there's no more reporting on the Paul Pelosi story after it being one of the biggest events last week and all the, you know, MAGA hate and violence. Yeah. So it's pretty interesting how rapidly, when actual facts came out, that or at least more information came out, that this thing fell behind the news cycle.
Anything else going on in this area, Jim? And I don't mean the Pelosi area, because quite frankly, I really don't care about that. But is there anything else going on kind of the same general subject where news stories are being pulled?
Yeah. So Carrie Lake,
yeah,
the candidate for governor in Arizona, was her office received envelopes with white powder in them.
Okay.
And apparently some threats. Emergency services were called, a very huge law enforcement response, including the FBI. But you did not see anything really over the weekend from mainstream media reporting on this threat. Now, this follows the week before when an illegal immigrant broke into the Democratic candidate Katie Hobbs's campaign office.
Up in New York?
Pardon me?
Up in New York?
No. Katie Hobbs in Arizona.
Okay.
So the same race, Arizona,
Okay.
Carrie Lake and Katie Hobbs. The week prior, somebody broke into the Katie Hobbs office. She blamed Carrie Lake, and it was national news, just caught fire for days.
Yeah, sure.
Until it turned out that, in fact, it was an illegal immigrant and had nothing to do with politics.
Yeah.
And that, of course, faded. But then with this whole threat and the white powder, and apparently the person that opened the envelopes is under, you know, medical observation, isolated quarantine potentially because of, you know, the idea that it might in fact be some sort of anthrax.
Yeah.
But basically no media reporting on this at all this weekend from the mainstream outlets.
Jim, where did you hear about it?
There were some, you know, smaller Citizen Free Press. There was some reporting coming out of it from independent journalists, from more conservative outlets.
Yeah.
Basically, very limited information on Fox News. Didn't even really put anything out on Saturday when it happened.
Yeah.
So, you know, and Fox News, interestingly enough, has been coming out with a lot of, I would say, almost neutral, almost pro-Democrat information over the weekend, in what appears to be an attempt to either get more neutral electorate influences or watchers on their network, or an attempt to shape, you know, political views. Yeah. And that's what we're seeing right now across the board and with all the corporate media outlets, is an influence operation in order to shape political outcomes based on their philosophies, the editor's philosophies and the in the corporate philosophies.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I was watching Levine last night, and the whole show centered around interviewing a high level Democratic, or I'm sorry, Republican candidate, starting with Arizona and going over to Pennsylvania.
Well, yeah, and I think most of the Fox opinion pundits, Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, they've been interviewing people.
Yeah.
But from the news perspective, actual network news and the other networks, very few of them have given equal time or even looked at either Republican candidates or any of these stories that might reflect badly on Democratic policies right now.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. This is one of the most divisive elections, as I said at the outset here, one of the most divisive elections that I have ever seen in my entire life. And I've been following politics for an awful long time. Jim, let's get over to what happened in New York with Cuomo. The source you mentioned, and we're going back a few months, you mentioned that Governor Cuomo mandated that COVID patients be admitted to nursing homes. The source of that is pretty stable in the sense that it's a source from the, why don't you go ahead and get the New York Post for one, and the other source was an article the entire report was published.
Yeah, let's talk about what happened here. Yeah. So in the initial onset of the pandemic, which, you know, a lot of people questioned the actual legitimacy of what was happening. A lot of information, bad information was put out.
Yeah.
There was massive concern about potential shortage of hospital beds.
Yeah.
Because of that, there were mandates in New York by the New York governor's health department dictating where people could and couldn't go. And those initial regulations required, you know, we're trying to free up hospital beds and wanted to put people that had COVID back into retirement homes, elderly people and primarily that came from, that came out of a retirement home into the hospital and then mandated them to put them back. Now, Andrew Cuomo and, a lot of, politicians have said that's not the case, but the New York Bar Association did a 243-page report, which outlines the overall response for COVID, but in particular walks through, and I would recommend people look at pages 17 through about 22, walks through the healthcare facility, the retirement community facility requirements and what the health department did for New York State, which ended up actually killing a lot more people than should have been.
Yeah, that's true. Now, I remember that. That was a while ago.
So again, it's not my opinion. This is what has been reported and what was analyzed and researched. Numerous people have come out and said that the political argument that in fact this is not, that that isn't what happened, has been disproven by the New York Bar Association itself.
It has been or hasn't been?
It has been. The idea that Cuomo and his political angle is that he was not responsible for doing that has been disproven.
Yeah.
It is factually proven by the New York State Bar Association that Cuomo's orders and his health department orders caused more deaths by mandating elderly people to return to retirement homes from hospitalization, and that killed more people than should have.
So he did. So he did mandate that elderly, elderly COVID patients had to go back to the nursing homes that they were in. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And that is outlined specifically both in the health department orders, but in the overall review by the New York State Bar Association.
And we're going to post that review, you guys, or we'll at least post a link to it. 204 pages will be kind of hard to post, so we'll give you a link to that. What else is going on vis-a-vis the election tomorrow, Jimmy, that you find interesting?
Well, I really find it interesting this weekend that a lot of people are attempting to shift and shape information with mainstream media, and I just don't believe it's going to work. Although we know this is already been stated by Pennsylvania election authorities, Arizona election authorities, and then anticipation from Georgian election authorities, the state of Georgia, that there may not be answers and a conclusion to these races on election night because they're going to continue to count votes. And we know that happens in Washington State. It takes quite a few days to get in all those mail-in ballots and get them counted. The problem is Arizona, Pennsylvania, and Georgia are all the states that had significant problems and questions in the 2020 election. And of course, that could be the balance between who controls the Senate and who does not.
Well, when you're talking about Arizona and you're talking about Georgia and you're talking about Pennsylvania, those are the key states in terms of determining where the balance of power is going to be in the Senate and the House.
Yes, exactly right. So it would be a net loss if Herschel Walker, who according to most polling now is up slightly, but may not get above the 50% because there's a couple other candidates that may pull a few of those percentage points, and which would require runoff. But we aren't sure how long it'll take to actually get the vote count in Georgia. And it's been problematic, obviously. They've had some very serious problems with voter rolls and with their actual count and some of their machine count information that's been even up until the primary, even this last few months ago. Arizona, they're saying that they're going to have a problem with it. And of course, Katie Hobbs is responsible for the election. She's the sitting Secretary of State running for governor against Carrie Lake. And she has not recused herself from that role as being the overseer of elections in her own election. And now is saying that, hey, we may not have an answer right away.
Yeah.
Even though she has done Joe Biden methodology of staying basically in her basement, not done any debates with Carrie Lake. And, according to polls right now, Carrie Lake has a very wide margin of victory, potentially, according to polling, somewhere 5 to 7% overall. But Blake Masters, who just picked up the Libertarian endorsement, who dropped out of the race, was showing pretty even with Mark Kelly, the Democrat incumbent.
Yeah.
And it would seem very strange if Carrie Lake, who's definitely a strong, Trumpian Republican, did not carry Blake Masters over the hump with a large victory. That something would be odd if that happened. So we'll watch that race. That'll be very interesting to see what happens. The Republican Party in Arizona has been very adamant about voter integrity, and we're going to see how this, how much of a question there is at the end of the day, this election there.
How are we looking in Pennsylvania, Jim?
So Oz has gotten a little bit of an advantage right now, very small advantage over Fetterman. The Democratic Party controls, the state house, the executive branch. They control some key areas there and influence over the executive branch. So it's questionable what's going to happen. And of course, they got a very powerful move. And this is where most of the Democratic money's gone in order to protect.
Oh, you bet. Oh, you bet. Along with having personal visits from both Joe Biden and Barack Obama.
Yeah, this weekend you had the last minute push there, as well as in New York and in Georgia. Interestingly enough, Joe Biden goes to campaign for Kathy Hochul in New York.
Yeah.
And apparently this weekend, a leftist environmentalist was, while Joe Biden was on the podium campaigning for Kathy Hochul, somebody was pressing on drilling, and he said, "No drilling, no more drilling." And this is really embarrassing as you go forward, into the 2-3 days before the election, when some of the key races are very specifically dependent on energy. And of course, Pennsylvania is one of those. And Fetterman has, had to back off from his anti-fracking stance.
But he is.
And, Oz is talking about opening it up. Mastriano, the Republican candidate for governor, he's been very vocal about opening up the spigots for the shale oil reserves and oil reserves in Pennsylvania and how much that would help them economically. So very, very tight in those key races. Some of the ones that have like spread a little bit farther and wide for Republicans, as Nevada, Adam Laxalt is way ahead of Cortez Masteo, 5 to 7 points. Nevada should turn red overall. Then, of course, you know, with the Bud in North Carolina, where that was the Democrats thought that would be a close one, he's actually quite ahead. Quite far ahead now, 5 to 7 points ahead, apparently, according to the latest polls in North Carolina. And we'll see what happens in, of course, Tiffany Smiley in Washington. We've talked about it before. She's within a couple of points, but and has been gaining ground.
Let me just interrupt you for a second. I find that to be absolutely amazing. And the reason I say that is I watched the debate in Spokane. And Patty Murray was pretty aggressive. No, I'm sorry. Patty Murray was pretty laid back during that debate. Tiffany Smiley really was aggressive, and I thought she had to be at this particular point in time.
Yeah, and I think, look, if you're fighting against incumbent, you have to actually make, you have to make a pretty bold attack against what has failed on the incumbent, what they've failed to do, because incumbency just, people are very comfortable with it. And of course, in a very deep blue state like Washington, it's quite interesting that it's even close right now. And it'll really depend. It'll really depend. And this is where the Democrats are very worried. It's going to depend on large urban area turnout. New York, San Francisco, of course, Atlanta in Georgia, Seattle in Washington, these key areas, Phoenix and, Maricopa County in Arizona. If they don't get high turnout, then Democrats don't get high turnout, then it's going to be really difficult for them to win. And what it looks like right now from early voting returns is that in these major urban areas, the Democrats are not motivated.
We talked about that last week. I find that to be absolutely amazing, because if it was ever time for Democrats to be motivated to vote, now is the time.
Well, it depends on what their values are. And I think a lot of them are economically hurting.
Yeah.
I think many Democrats, moderate Democrats, suburban women, we've talked about the numbers shifting towards suburban women, white suburban women towards Republicans. Look, they, they're not into a lot of the, they don't want to give the teachers control of their children. They don't want to have, sex books in their kindergartners, a library or the elementary school library. There's a lot of things like that that don't get them motivated. And of course, if they're suburban moms, they're not really that interested in abortion. And the Democrats laid all their money on abortion, on abortion and January 6th and insurgency. And you're still hearing these echoes from the White House, from the communications, White House communications office and the spokespeople, and as well as these Democratic candidates around the country saying election deniers, election deniers. Well, I think they've missed the boat, because a lot of people actually question how Joe Biden could get 81 million votes.
Yeah.
And we're seeing numerous problems in our election system around the country right now, even in the last 24, 48 hours, that show that our system is somewhat, broken.
Yeah.
And so you're actually, I don't think you're helping yourself with as a Democrat with those two specific targets, January 6th insurgency or insurrection and abortion.
What I find to be really interesting when you talk about moral issues, and I'm not talking about abortion here, I'm talking about some of the sexual issues that are being taught in elementary school, that isn't set by the teachers, that's set by the state. And that's, well, in Washington, in my opinion, that's not a good reflection on our state.
Right. And where does the influence come from for the state? It's the leadership that responds to the National Education Association, the NEA.
Right.
Weingartner, you know, and unfortunately, Jay Inslee in Washington State and Kathy Hochul in New York and, of course, Gavin Newsom down in California.
Yeah.
They respond to the union leadership very, very routinely. That's why they kept things shut down and kids out of school.
I'm sorry?
That's why they kept things in COVID shut down and children out of school.
Yeah.
Because of union influence.
Yeah.
And, you know, the teachers had way too much power.
You bet.
So in those states, it is direct. The directives come from the state and the health departments, but those directives are influenced strongly by unions and activists.
Yeah.
And the unions and activists that are involved are basically the, you know, the LGBTQ community,
yeah,
and the teachers union. Those are the biggest players,
yeah,
that are trying to influence, you know, all these ridiculous policies in education right now.
You bet. You bet. Jimmy, we set a record, 22 minutes on this particular editorial. Yeah, that's all right. You guys, we're going to be back tomorrow with just some last-minute opinions on what's going on in the election. Jim, thanks so much, bud.
Hey, Al, one more comment. This is very interesting.
Do it.
Elon Musk, who has like 100 million followers on Twitter and now owns Twitter, came out and said, I recommend voting Republican.
There you go.
He and Joe Rogan, they're basically either left or independents, and they're going to have a big influence on the outcome tomorrow in the elections.
Well, we'll see what happens. It's really going to be interesting. Unfortunately, it's going to be very divisive. Jim, thanks so much, man.
You bet.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.